and welcome to Dragonfly Tales, a story podcast with me, Emily, and Leo.
Hello! And each episode, we will tell you a story from around the world and share some fun and silly things with you.
Welcome, one and all, to the merry, merry month of May.
The merry, merry month of May.
That's right.
Yeah, May Day is a really lovely time of year.
It is, isn't it?
We celebrate the beginning of summer.
The beginning of summer. So May Day, the beginning of summer in the Celtic wheel, is called Bealtaine, which is actually Gaelic for the month of May.
We can finally start to feel the sun's rays on our face.
Yeah.
And we know the days are getting longer.
They are. The light is returning. And that's because the Earth is tilting towards the sun here in the Northern Hemisphere. And the warm season is coming. Leo, can I tell you a fact?
Ooh, let me hear.
So if the sun were just a few degrees nearer, our planet Earth would burn up.
Whoa!
And if our sun were a few degrees farther away, all life on Earth would freeze.
Sheesh! Isn't it amazing the sun is where it is? Not too far away and not too close.
In fact, it's just right. Oh, that reminds me of a fairy tale.
Well, like from Goldilocks, the area between the sun and the Earth, it's called the Goldilocks Zone.
Is that because it's just right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like the porridge in Goldilocks. Isn't that brilliant that they use that term in science?
Stories are everywhere.
They are. And you can do lots of things to thank the sun for being the sun.
You can make a garland of flowers to wear as a crown.
Or sew little flowers on your favourite gown.
Yes. You can cover a branch with ribbons and bows.
Kick off your shoes and twirl on your toes.
For this is the merry old month of May.
And winter makes way for the summer. Hooray!
Well, I think it's time for some shout-outs.
Oh, it's shout-outs time. Okay, Leo, who have we got first?
Well, firstly, we have a shout-out to Theo, who is 8, and Ambrose, who is 5. In Ottawa, Canada, they listen to us at bedtime and on long, boring car journeys.
Oh, brilliant. Hi, Theo.
Hi, Theo.
Hi, Ambrose. Thanks for listening. Who have we got next, Leo?
Next, we have a shout out to, and we'll say the names right this time, Elin, who is 6, and Finley, who is 8, from Minnesota. They also sent us a lovely donation.
Oh, thank you for that. Hi, Elin.
Hi, Elin.
Hi, Finley. Thanks for listening.
Now, here's a shout out to Amara, who's from Newington Green. She's been listening to our podcast since nearly the beginning.
Oh, she has. Hi Amara. Thanks for listening.
And finally, here's a big shout out to Year 1 and Year 2 of St. Thomas Primary School.
Oh, yes, I took them, Year 1 I did, and Chris took Year 2 on a big adventure of London because they are studying, Leo, the Great Fire of London. Can you say it like that?
The Great Fire of London.
And they were just brilliant. Hi, Year 1.
Hi, Year 1.
Hi, Year 2. Thanks for listening. Oh, Leo, that was brilliant. And remember, if you at home would like a shout out on our podcast, you can let us know in Facebook, Dragonfly Tales. We've got a nice story chat now, so you can put your requests there. But if you don't use Facebook, you can just email us, emilydragonflytales@gmail.com.
Tell us your age and your town, please.
Oh, yes, age and town. And we'll put all the details in the episode notes.
So, Emily, what's your story today? Well, as if I need to ask.
Well, Leo, I think it might be time to rejoin Perseus in his quest for the head of
Medusa.
Dun, dun, dun. Now, do you remember where he was going?
Well, he's got 0 weapons.
Yeah.
So I think Athena and Hermes are taking him to meet Yes, some nymphs.
Nymphs.
Wait, what are nymphs anyway?
Well, they're not quite as powerful as the gods of Olympus, but they do have magical powers. They're always girls, pretty maidens, and they like to dwell in nature. So rivers, trees, forests, mountains. And these nymphs live on an island.
Must be pretty cool to be one.
Yeah. So how do you think we should start part two?
I think we should start the Stygian nymphs lived on an island surrounded by blue-green sea.
Oh, that's lovely. The Stygian nymphs lived on an island surrounded by blue-green sea. The gods placed Perseus on the shore, and as soon as his feet touched the sand, he heard the nymphs singing the most beautiful song. Their voices tinkled and flowed like crystal water. Perseus, it is here we must leave you. The nymphs will give gifts that will aid you in your quest. And I offer you this. Athena gave Perseus her shining bronze shield, made by Hephaestus himself.
Blacksmith of the gods!
Yeah. The shield was so highly polished that Perseus could see his own face on the inside of it, just as if he were looking in a mirror. Use this shield to protect you. Her reflection cannot harm you. Never look the Gorgon in the face. Hermes, give Perseus your crystal sword.
What? This one's my favourite. Fine. Take care of it. There's no sword like it. It can cut through anything, even a Gorgon's neck.
And then the gods were gone. And Perseus followed the mellifluous sound of the singing until he found himself in a beautiful glade, surrounded by trees and wild flowers. He couldn't see the nymphs, but he felt their delicate hands on his skin, gentle fingers caressing him. He looked down and found he was wearing golden sandals, and each sandal had a little wing on it.
So he can fly now?
I don't know. Then the nymphs placed a velvet bag over his shoulder. The cloth was so thick and dense, Perseus felt it could hold anything, even molten lava, and not be destroyed.
Ah, I bet that's for the head.
Finally, the invisible hands placed a shining helmet upon his head and...
What?
Perseus vanished.
It makes him invisible?
It makes him invisible.
God, that's cheating!
That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah, I want that helmet.
Perseus made his way back to the beach and he looked down. All he could see were his own imprints in the sand.
That's very cool.
Yes. Thank you, sweet maidens, for these treasures. I will use them wisely. Right, time to see if my sandals work. Now, how do I switch them on?
Maybe they need a command?
Oh, yeah, that's a point. So what, like he says some words and it activates them?
Yeah.
Okay, so what could the command be for his sandals?
Oh, maybe... Let's fly!
Oh, that's quite good.
Yeah, maybe.
Do you want to use that one?
Yeah, go on then. Okay.
Okay. All right, so he's going to say, let's fly, every time he wants to use the sandals. Are we ready? Let's fly! And Perseus was away, flying an airy path all the way to the desert of the dead. Meanwhile, on Mount Olympus, Zeus was receiving Athena's report. So, daughter, he has your shield to use as a mirror.
Check.
He has Hermes' crystal blade to strike off the head.
Check, I guess.
He has a magical sack to contain it.
Check.
He has winged sandals so he can make a quick exit. And he has a helmet of invisibility in case the immortal sisters come after him.
Check.
Yes, Father.
Good, good.
He's going to need every single one of them.
Father, said Athena, about Medusa, I feel pity for her.
Pity? You created her! It's your own fault! You turned a silly, vain girl into a hideous monster, and now you have to clean up the mess. She must be destroyed to save my son and his lovely mother.
Yes, Father, but when it's all over, can I make amends?
Well, I don't see how. She'll have her head cut off.
Athena lowered her head. I will think of something.
Wait, can gods feel regret?
Do you think that's what she's feeling?
Guessing by her actions.
Well, the Greek gods displayed all sorts of human qualities. They could be jealous, angry. We know they could fall in love.
Well, of course.
They could be proud as well. So why should they not feel regret or remorse?
That is a good point.
Anyway, back to Perseus. Perseus landed lightly in the desert of the dead. No life anywhere. Nothing grew. No trees. No birdsong. Just cruel, endless desert, burning sand, and leering mountains. And statues. So many statues. Soldiers, adventurers, bounty hunters, all frozen. Their faces twisted in terror and agony.
What I don't get is why does everyone go after Medusa? Can't they just stay out of her way?
Well, yes, it said there were bounty hunters there.
Bounty hunters? Why?
Well, there's something I haven't told you. Medusa's head works even after death.
What? Well, you could have told me that earlier.
I know.
You mean it can still turn things to stone?
Oh, yes, after her head has been cut off. A very powerful weapon, don't you think, for a kingdom?
Yeah, of course. But I guess everyone's failed, though.
Well, yes, she's not going to give you her head.
As a present.
As a present. Perseus followed the awful statues up onto higher ground towards the mountains. The sweat was dripping from his forehead and stinging his eyes. His throat was parched and his hands trembled as he saw the mouth of a cave. He gripped his shield. Never look her in the face. He took his helmet from the sack and placed it on his head, vanishing immediately. Then he crept up to the cave. It was very dark. The air inside was cool, but smelled terrible.
What did it smell like?
Like death.
Oh gosh, I've got a bad feeling about this.
Perseus glimpsed a light ahead of him and moved towards it, past more statues, some of them crumbling and broken. He could hear nothing but the sound of his own heartbeat thumping wildly in his chest. He raised his shield in front of his face as he approached the light. It came from a single oil lamp, and in that dim light he saw where the Gorgons lay, like snakes in their nests. All three were sleeping, side by side. He recoiled at how hideous they were. Their snake hair and eel hair slept too, little tongues darting in and out. as the Gorgons breathed in and out, their scales rippled. Perseus stood, frozen, like a statue, as the Gorgons moved in their sleep and then laid still again.
Which one was Medusa?
Well, Stheno, the oldest sister, lay sleeping with her hands clasped on her chest. Perseus flinched at the sight of her long bronze claws glinting in the dim light, the fiery red water snakes on her head. Next to her lay her sister, Ephriale, clutching a curved longbow in her talons, the sleeping blue venomous serpents rising and falling with every breath she took. Perseus noticed something. Both of the sisters seemed to shimmer somehow, like Athena or Hermes.
Immortal!
They're immortal.
The third must be Medusa.
Medusa! Perseus turned around quickly and looked at the sleeping Gorgon in his shield. She too had snakes for hair and scales that covered her body. He could see her fanged teeth resting on her lower lip. He watched her breathing, not slow and deep like her sister's, but short breaths, restless, anxious. Perseus couldn't understand it. Her face seemed almost beautiful. He was hypnotized by it.
No, this isn't good. Snap out of it, P.
Just then, one of her snakes awoke, and with it, all the other snakes on her head sprang up, twisting around each other, their tongues darting in and out. Medusa opened her eyes and sat up.
Who is there?
But she could see nothing in front of her.
He's invisible.
The snakes were twisting madly now, coiling back as if ready to strike. Medusa's eyes darted here and there, searching for the hidden presence. Perseus knew this was his moment, and he raised the crystal sword with trembling hands.
Do it!
Medusa began to rise up, her eyes filled with fury, her forked tongue flashing from her lips.
Where are you?
She swiped at the air with her clawed hand, and Perseus stepped back. The helmet! It fell from his head and saw the look of Medusa in his shield.
Oh, no, 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 no!
Son of Zeus, you hide behind the shield of Athena. Come to take my head? What if I take yours instead?
Oh, she's horrible.
The Gorgon lunged at Perseus, who darted out of the way,
go,
keeping
Perseus.
His eyes firmly on his shield.
Look at me.
No, 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 no.
Look
Perseus.
At me.
Perseus.
No, said Perseus. No, sword of Hermes, be swift in my hands. Perseus closed his eyes and swung his sword in an arc towards the Gorgon's neck, slicing through it like butter. She tried to scream out, but her voice gurgled and blood spurted as her head fell at his feet.
Got her!
Not so fast. Stheno and Ephriale burst awake, their snakes hissing and spitting at Perseus. He had only milliseconds to make a decision. Leo, what should he do?
What do you mean?
Well, what should he do?
Use the sword!
He can't use the sword. These Gorgons are immortal. The sword won't work.
He needs to get to the head.
Yes, look, come on, Leo, they're coming.
Put on the helmet.
Put on the helmet. Okay, he reached for the helmet and he put it on. The Gorgon sisters were furious. Where is he? Shrouded in invisibility, Perseus reached down without looking, grasped the head by its snakes and stuffed it into the sack. Then he ran from the cave, the shrieks of the Gorgon sisters ringing in his ears. And as soon as he was clear...
Let's fly!
Let's fly!
Phew, that was intense.
It certainly was. Oh, let's all take a breath. Back on the island of Seriphos, Danae was weeping. It had been 3 days and no sign of her beloved son. He was surely dead, and now she was at the mercy of that awful King Polydectes. Oh, he was in a wonderful mood, ordering people around to prepare for the wedding feast. Danae, 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 crying makes you look ugly. Stop it. I told you I always get what I want. He unsheathed a dagger and pointed it at her. Now be a good bride and make your way to the ceremony.
I cannot stand this guy.
Me neither.
What was that?
The herald's trumpet.
Here he comes, right on time.
Perseus had landed right in the middle of where the ceremony was to take place. Polydectes, bring forth my mother. I have your prize. A deal is a deal. Danae came out, followed by the king, who was holding the dagger to her back. Perseus returned. Nonsense! No one could have survived the look of the Gorgon. You are a liar, and so both of you will die. Wait, you do not believe me? Of course not. What have you got in there? It's probably a pumpkin.
Well, take a look, mate.
Oh, very well. Show us this head of Medusa. You wish me to show you her head?
I believe the king asked to see the head, Perseus.
Then your wish is granted. Mother, cover your eyes! And with that, Perseus pulled the head from the bag and held it up to Polydectes. The king and his soldiers screamed in horror. But it was too late. Their warm skin began to turn grey and cold and hard. Their limbs stopped moving. Their hearts stopped beating. All in an instant, they were petrified.
You mean they were really scared?
Well, the real meaning of petrified means turned to stone.
Wow. Well, that's the end of him.
It certainly is. The evil ruler of Seriphos was defeated. His brother, Victus the fisherman, well, he happily stepped in to help organise things, and everyone agreed it was much nicer on the island now.
So all's well that ends well, I guess?
Well, not quite.
Oh.
You see, Perseus was not done adventuring, and nor was he done with the head of Medusa. Do you remember I said to you that the head worked even after death? We've seen the evidence. Polydectes is turned to stone. Well, he used the head to rescue a princess, the Princess Andromeda, from the clutches of a terrifying sea creature.
What?
Yes, you see, her mother Cassiopeia boasted that Andromeda, her daughter, was more beautiful than Poseidon's nymphs.
Oh, not this again.
I know. And Poseidon was so offended, he demanded Andromeda be sacrificed to his monster, Cetus.
Poseidon has a habit of getting girls into trouble.
Doesn't he? But the power of the Gorgon's head transformed that sea monster into a massive stone statue in a heartbeat.
Yay, I guess an extra decoration now.
But Perseus was determined after that to return to Argos, where he was born, and confront his grandfather for trying to have him and his mother killed.
I don't blame him. Not very grandfatherly behaviour to put your daughter and grandson in a box and chuck them in the sea.
Well, yes. And Dan and I didn't want to go back, but eventually she agreed and they set out across the sea for Argos. But when Dan and I told Perseus about the prophecy...
That he would end up killing his grandfather?
That's right. Perseus was horrified. Well, he didn't want to be responsible for killing his grandfather, even if he did shove them in a box. So he ordered that the ship be turned around and stop at a different island. And this island was hosting a great sporting event.
Well, the Greeks did invent the Olympic Games.
They certainly did. Danai and Perseus wandered through the crowds and they saw wrestling and javelin throwing and gymnastics.
And the discus throw?
And the discus throw. They arrived at a big open space where some men were throwing the discus and the crowd were cheering and clapping every throw. And behind the crowd was a visiting king sat on a throne overseeing the games.
Oh, you have got to be kidding me.
You've guessed, haven't you?
Yep.
The king was King Acrisius.
Perseus's grandfather!
Exactly. Hey, said one man, he's a big lad. And he pointed at Perseus. Oh, go on, let him have a go. I bet he can throw it onto the next island. And before he could refuse, Perseus was pulled up into the contest. He was handed a discus and shown how to throw it. So he could see some lines off in the distance in the field and he guessed he had to throw it as far as he could over the lines to win. Shall we try with him? Are you ready, Leo? Here goes.
One, two, three.
Perseus didn't know how to throw a discus properly, but he was incredibly strong. The discus flew through the air, not towards the lines, but over the crowds and struck King Acrisius in the head and he dropped down...
dead. The priestess was right. Perseus did kill his grandfather. By accident.
It was an accident, yes. And Acrisius could not escape his fate.
But wait, what happened to Medusa's head?
Oh, yes. Well, do you remember Andromeda?
The princess he rescued?
Yes, from the sea monster.
Of course.
Well, the two of them, Perseus and Andromeda, they fell in love. And they got married and they had lots of children and grandchildren.
Nice!
Yeah. And it was on a sunny day, years later, when Perseus and Andromeda were much, much older. Perseus was sitting on the beach and he was watching his grandchildren splashing and playing when suddenly he felt a familiar presence and he knew exactly who it was. Athena and Hermes.
Oh, can I be Hermes again? Yeah, not stopping me this time, I'm going for a swim! Woohoo!
Perseus looked up. Hello, sister. There in front of him stood the blazing goddess Athena. Perseus, you've grown old.
Yes, we demigods are still part mortal. All must end for us one day. But I've had a good life filled with adventure, family, love. I am happy.
Hey, kid! Give us a go on your Lilo. What do you mean they haven't been invented yet?
So, what brings the goddess Athena to my humble shores?
Well, I'd like my shield back. And, you said you were happy. Perseus smiled, and his kind old eyes looked out at his family splashing and playing.
Yes, Athena. Wait, is that Hermes in a rubber ring?
Oh, hi, Perseus. Look, I'm floating.
Yes, I am not happy. I wronged someone. And I would like to make amends. Perseus smiled and stroked his beard.
My, my, the great goddess is sorry for something.
Careful, Perseus. And then he felt the heat of those grey eyes.
I mean to say, sister, how can I be of assistance?
Medusa, do you still have her head?
Why, yes, in its sack, very securely locked away.
I mean, you wouldn't want the grandchildren getting a hold of it and turning you to stone because you didn't buy them an ice cream. Oh, I might have an ice cream, actually.
I offer it to you, great goddess. I'm sure you'll know what to do with it.
Thank you, Perseus. Hermes, we must return to Mount Olympus.
But Athena, I only just got in!
Now, Hermes!
All right!
Back on Mount Olympus, Athena took the head from the sack and held it in her hands. The eyes opened, the snakes writhed and hissed.
Whoa, watch out!
But Athena was immortal. She could not be turned to stone. Instead, she spoke tenderly. Medusa, I wronged you. I let my vanity and jealousy punish you. You were just a girl, being flattered by my cunning uncle. With all my godly power, I cannot undo what I have done. I cannot bring you back. So instead, I will carry you. It is my burden. I will take you with me always, as a reminder to not let pride and vanity blind me. For beauty is only skin deep, and I can do better.
What is she going to do with the head?
Well, Athena carried the head to her shield and breathed upon it. Once the air had cleared of gold dust and shimmering scales, Athena beheld her aegis, her shield, now bearing the symbol of the Gorgon's head. Zeus was there, and he smiled at Athena.
It is well done, daughter. I too will preserve this great adventure. When Perseus and Andromeda come to the end of their life, I shall raise them up into the heavens and place them among the stars for all eternity. So that all, when they look to the heavens, will remember them and tell their story.
And ours, Father. And ours.
Oh, that's epic.
And now, our epic story must finish. Are you ready, Leo?
Yeah, I guess so.
It's the end. So, Leo, did you like that story?
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? What was your favourite bit?
Well, I obviously loved when Perseus snuck into the Desert of the Dead and defeated Medusa. That bit was tense but awesome.
Yeah, it was. It was really exciting.
Yeah. But I also like how Medusa is able to be redeemed at the end.
Yes, and if you look on Google, if you Google Athena's shield, the Aegis, and have a look at it, you can actually see that it is emblazoned with the head of the Gorgon.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that's awesome.
So do you think Athena did feel a bit bad at the end?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Gods can definitely feel regret.
I think so. And you know what? Poseidon, I mean, he really does need a slap on the wrist, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Getting girls into trouble like that. Goodness me. But yes, a wonderful story. And thank you, Leo, for helping me to tell it.
So that's it for this episode. Don't forget to send us photos of your May Day flower gardens and your stories, and we'll have a new guest teller coming soon.
Oh, yes. And if you're enjoying our podcast, we would love a review, wouldn't we, Leo?
Definitely.
We got a review recently, and hopefully we can read it out and say thank you next episode. Please, please leave us a review. We would love it so much. How many stars?
5 stars, please.
5 stars, please. And if you can, make a little donation on the website to keep us going. And thank you so much. You have been listening to Dragonfly Tales with Emily and Leo.
We hope you enjoyed our podcast, and we'll be back with another story soon. But until then, may your days be warm, happy and bright.
And may the sun's rays fill you with light. Bye.
Our podcast is brought to you by Emily, Leo and Andy at Dragonfly Tales. Join our Dragonfly Tales podcast group on Facebook, find us on Instagram at Dragonfly Tales Pod, and follow us on Twitter at Emily Dragonfly. I don't blam him.